Sing Sing Jail is a jail in New York that, beside me, looks like everybody in America knew about it. Okay, I have an excuse. I didn't grow up here, even though I'm already here for 35 years. But I didn't, this piece I was missing. How I learned about this jail, correctional center, whatever it's called, in the 80s, there is a rabbi in Israel. His name is Rabbi Grossman. In Israel, he's very famous. He established an institution for kids from very poor families. He takes care of them, and he has a whole organization and institutions in a place that's called Migdal HaEmek, in other places, always caring for the less fortunate in Israel. And this rabbi, Grossman, was very close with the Rebbe. One time during the 80s, he was in the United States, in New York. He gets a phone call from the Rebbe secretary. The Rebbe secretary tells him, "I'm calling you from the Rebbe's car." The Rebbe in the 80s had in his car, there was a special telephone to call for emergencies. And he tells him the Rebbe is now by the Ohel. The Ohel means the Rebbe, his father-in-law's gravesite. His father-in-law is buried in New York. He was the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Rebbe used to go very often to pray there. And whenever he used to go, he used to take with him a whole bag of letters that people asked him to pray for them. He used to take the letters, read it on his father-in-law's gravesite, and then tear the note and leave it on the gravesite. The Rebbe used to go there in my time twice a week and stand there for hours. He used to leave early afternoon and come back to Crown Heights to 770 to his office, to the synagogue, in late evening when it was dark already. And usually when the Rebbe used to stand there and pray, nobody was there. It was just him. Nobody bothered him. Nobody even dared to open the door of the little house where the gravesite is. It was him and his late father-in-law, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. This time, the Rebbe interrupted his prayers on his own. He interrupted it, walked out the door, looked for his secretary who was waiting outside to take him back to Crown Heights, and told him like this: "Call Rabbi Grossman. I know he's in New York now, and let them go to the Sing Sing jail to visit a prisoner there." And he gave him the name. The secretary calls Rabbi Grossman. It's already late afternoon. And he tells him, "The Rebbe stopped it now and told me to let you know to go to visit this man." That Grossman is asking him, "Should I go now or I can wait for tomorrow morning?" And the secretary tells him, "If the Rebbe interrupted his prayer by his father-in-law, something that almost never happened, and he told me to call you, obviously it's an emergency. I think you should go now." He canceled all his other meetings and appointments. He told his driver, "Take me straight to the jail. It's an hour. It's in New York. It's in Westchester, New York. It's not too far." But on the way to the jail, he's thinking to himself, "How am I going to go in? I'm not an American. I'm an Israeli. He speaks a broken English. He doesn't have. He does, why should they even let him in?" He arrives to jail. And he comes and he says he came to visit this prisoner. He opened the door. "Sure, come on in, Rabbi." "Yeah, absolutely." That was strange. It was like they were waiting for him. He goes in, he understands the story. He meets a broken person who is like, his eyes are closed, completely depressed. What's the story? It's a doctor, an Israeli doctor who lived in New York, he prescribed his wife medicine, the wrong medicine, and she died from it. And he was prosecuted for murders. And he got, I think, life in prison. And he tried that week twice to commit suicide. Therefore, when the prison officers heard that there is a rabbi came to see him, they were very happy to let him in. He sits with them. He starts to tell him, "You should know, you have regards from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He sent me now to visit you specially. The prisoner started to cry. Says, Rabbi, I used to be a doctor. I helped so many people. And now I'm sitting in jail. I have no life. I'm a nobody. I'm dependent on others. I want to stop my, I want to finish. I want to die. I don't want to be alive. That's why I tried to commit suicide, and he plans to do it. The rabbi tells him, you cannot do it. You have a neshama, you have a soul. God loves you no matter what. Christ, he says, Rabbi, it's too late. I'm too far gone. There's no way, I'm doomed. There's no way to go back. Grossman was thinking, that moment came to him, to his mind. He remembered something that he heard from the Rebbe on the day before on the Farbrengen on Shabbat. The Rebbe was speaking about the human being. You know, when God created the world, there was 6 days of creation, then Shabbat. He created the heaven and earth, then he created the sun and the moon, then he created vegetation, then he created animals. The last thing to be created Friday was Adam and Eve. Well, there is a verse in the book of Psalms that says that the man was the first and the last creation. How could you be the first and the last creation? It's a contradiction. You are the first or the last. Especially when you know from the Bible that man was the last creation after everybody. And the Medrash, the Rebbe quoted, the Rebbe Medrash says something very interesting. The body of the human being was created the last. But the soul, the neshama, that was created first. And whatever you said, what's the point? And the Medrash says like this, if you're walking according to what your soul tells you to do, if you're a spiritual man, you do the right thing, you are higher than angels. You were created before the angels. But if you are doing the wrong things, God tells you, even the cockroach was created before you. What you saw, what you're holding yourself so important. He turned to him and he told him, listen, maybe your body pulled you down, but you have a soul. You can go from the lowest to the highest. Don't give up. The doctor's listening and he cries. And he said, that's what the Rebbe said? He told him, yes. They were going on and talking. And then he left. Came back to Crown Heights, Grossman, Rabbi Grossman, and he reported to the Rebbe that he visited this prisoner and what's the story with him. And he gave him some hope. The Rebbe was very happy to hear it, and he asked him to go further. That week he was in New York, he went to see him every day. One of the times he put him on film and he prayed with him. Then he came, he told the Rebbe, I put him on film. That he asked, should I try to bring him closer to Judaism? The Rebbe said, just give him strength, just give him hope. That's what we are here for. Since then, since the 1980s, every time when Rabbi Grossman used to come to America, he used to go to visit the prisoner, the Israeli doctor prisoner in Sing Sing jail. Over the years, many years passed, he was released from jail for good behavior, whatever it was. He went back to Israel, this prisoner, he lived the rest of his life, and a year and a half ago, he passed away in a much more happier state of mind. And Grossman told the story, he says, he never heard of this prisoner. Said the prisoner told him he never reached out to the Rebbe, nothing. He doesn't know how the Rebbe knew about that, nothing. The Rebbe, in the middle of nowhere, knew about it and told him to go to save this soul. I want to share with you another short story that I was there when it happened. I was by the Rebbe from 1985 until 1990. Then I came to Solon. These 6 years were the best 6 years of my life. To be by the Rebbe, to be so close to greatness, to holiness, to be inspired just by looking at the Rebbe. I remember in 1988, around 1 o'clock in the morning, we heard the news that the Rebbe's wife passed away. Now the Rebbe and his wife were married for 60 years, had a very special, special relationship. They never had children. They were very close. She was the daughter of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the Rebbe was the son-in-law. When she passed away, she wasn't especially very ill. She had a She had an ulcer and a bleeding ulcer, and before long she was gone. It was a very short thing. The Rebbe was very, very broken and sad. It was a terrible loss. Especially the Rebbe never had children. Even his family, for some reason, his brothers, one was killed in the Holocaust. One died young, had only one child. Basically, there was no family around. Not cousins, not nephews. It was the Rebbe and his wife. That was the closest person that he had in his life, and the only person. That morning, midday was the funeral. Before the funeral, the Rebbe had a private doctor, a cardiologist from Chicago. His name was Iro Weiss. We have Iro Weiss in Cleveland, but this is Iro Weiss from Chicago, is a cardiologist. Then he came in to be with the Rebbe. And he was there with the funeral, the cemetery. Then he came back home. And then when the Rebbe went upstairs to the second floor in his house, he went behind the Rebbe. The Rebbe turns to him around and he tells him, "Is there any news for Mrs. Moskowitz in Chicago?" What's the story? It was a Hasidic couple in Chicago who tried to get pregnant. The doctor said it's too dangerous and so on. They got Dr. Weiss as an advisor to tell them what to do. Partially because he was the Rebbe's doctor, and they wanted he should report to the Rebbe what's going on with what they're trying to do and to get a blessing. What could be a better liaison to the Rebbe than his personal doctor? And he used to report to the Rebbe what they're trying to do this, they're trying to get pregnant. The Rebbe comes up from the funeral. He just buried his wife, the only one in the world that he had on a personal level, family member. He turns to him and is asking, "Is there any news from Mrs. Moskowitz in Chicago?" The story is that she didn't know that, but she was already pregnant. She found out about it a few days later. But when the Rebbe was asking, "Is there any news?" she was already pregnant. But what I want to point out is that the Rebbe, in this moment of great sadness, was not busy about himself. He was worried about a couple who tries to get pregnant in Chicago. What's a Rebbe? There is a rabbi and there is a Rebbe. Rabbis, they worry for their congregation, for their community, or any leader. If it's a mayor, he's responsible for his city. If it's a president for his country. But a Rebbe is a whole different story. Rebbe is an acronym for three, it's written in Hebrew in three letters. Reish, Bet, Yud. The Reish stands for the word Rosh. The Bet is for Bnei. The Yud is for Israel. The head of the Jewish people. Just as the head feels the tunnel, the pain in a tunnel, so too a leader, a Rebbe, a true Rebbe, feels the pain of every Jew wherever he is. And if he cares only for a certain group of Jews and not for another group of Jews, only for the smart one, only for the successful one, only for this, only for that, if his vocabulary is, "I care, but," if there is somebody he doesn't care for, he's not a Rebbe. Moses cared for every Jew, and every leader after him who is a true Rebbe has to be the head of the all Jewish people. The pain of every Jew, he has to feel it. And from there came out the whole idea of sending Chabad rabbis all over the world. Because he cared for Jews, said if there is Jews in Alaska who do not have a Seder, they need to send somebody to do it. If there is Jews in China who do not have, will not hear the shofar and Rosh Hashanah, we need to make sure somebody will go to do it. And it was in Chernobyl, the nuclear reactor blew up. Then the Rebbe heard, somebody wrote to the Rebbe that there is many Jewish children who are there in a sick place. And the Rebbe right away ordered the Chabad Youth Organization in Israel to take care of it. And over 5 years or more, they brought out from there 1,000 Jewish children and brought them to Israel and took care of them and gave them medical care and so on and on and on. Because the Rebbe cares for everyone. Tonight is the Rebbe's yahrzeit. It's the 26th yahrzeit of the Rebbe. Tomorrow morning I'm going to, God willing, to leave to New York. It's with other kids, my kids, with Rabbi Shimon and my son, my kids, and all of them were going to, and not all of them, but all the adult kids will go to New York, will visit the Rebbe's gravesite, and will turn around, God willing, will be back Friday early morning. But we are the end and the feet of the Rebbe. Today we don't have the privilege to get a phone call from the secretary, go here, go there, find out what's going on. Today we have to do it. We have to care to find out what is that somebody next to us needs from us, physical or spiritual, another Jew, to feel his pain and to try to help him. To be what the Rebbe would want from us to do, what he was doing, now every one of us has to do it. And many times people ask, how I know what the other person feels? There is a story about two farmers who were sitting together and they were drinking, not soda. They were drinking and was silent for a long time. Then one farmer turns to the other, tells him, tell me, do you love me? The other guy tells him, sure, I love you. I love you very much. He says, if you love me, tell me what bothers me. What worries me? If you would love me, you would know what worries me. That's what he told him. And that's a very important lesson. People ask, I don't know. I didn't know that the other person needs this or needs this. If I care for him, I would know what he needs. And this is to continue the Rebbe's legacy, means to reach out to somebody else and help him. And help him not only in the material world. Most of the people, thank God, they have what they need. Even with a smile. But also in a spiritual sense. Sharing with somebody about a mitzvah of mezuzah, to buy him a mezuzah, to buy him a candlestick, to inspire him to do another mitzvah. That's what it's all about. And we will do it. We are still, in this sense, the Rebbe continues to live on, not only among his Hasidim, but among Jews all over the world.